Connected. Stay informed. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues on Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Good afternoon. It's 102. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now our top stories from the Como 24/7 News Center. Doctors and hospital administrators across Washington State, overwhelmed with COVID patients, are grappling with the issue of crisis care standards. Como's Corwin Hank reports some hospitals are already rationing care.
Under crisis standards of care, healthcare providers are faced literally with life and death decisions based on the availability of scarce resources like ICU beds and ventilators.
Who is going to get a life-saving treatment and who is not?
Taya Briley is Executive Vice President of the Washington State Hospital Association. She says our state has not yet triggered crisis standards.
Washington hospitals have been able to work together to avoid having to go there.
Still, hospitals jammed with COVID patients are delaying some so-called elective procedures, and Dr. Dan Goetz does not mean facelifts.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of cancer surgeries, lots of spine surgeries where people are in constant pain. They're not sleeping. They're in agony.
Goetz is chief medical officer at Providence Spokane, currently overwhelmed with COVID patients from Idaho. Even if those conditions force him to trigger crisis standards, Goetz says there's one line he will not cross.
We would never withhold care for somebody because they made a decision not to get vaccinated.
Corwin Hake, Como News.
If you're not vaccinated, you now have to get a COVID test before doing things like taking a certain flight, going to a stage performance, and even going to a football game. As Como's Brian Calvert reports, that's ramping up demand for something already in short supply.
For some, it's the assurance that sends them in for a test.
I have nieces and nephew at home and stuff like that, so I just want to be cautious.
For others, a case of the sniffles or a cough will send them in.
Not only are positivity rates going up, but people are also now exposed to colds and other illnesses that we haven't been exposed to with our masks on for the last year.
Now in both Yakima and Whatcom counties, local health departments can no longer offer a COVID test to just anyone because there's a shortage of kits that must be reserved for those either sick or those who may have been exposed. Now throw in requirements for negative tests to go watch a football game, and resources are stretched even tighter.
We are not all the way out of the woods.
So once again, plan for a wait if you need a test, and many places that used to be open for anyone to come on in are now being forced to say if you need a test result for travel or leisure, go buy a test kit at the pharmacy. Brian Calvert, Como News.
Coming up.
Firefighters from across the region came together over the weekend in Spokane to honor one of their own who died in the line of duty. I'm Carlene Johnson.
First at 104, Como traffic update from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center and Marina Rockinger.
We do have a little bit of a slowdown southbound 405 in on the east side, basically going into Renton right around 44th. Shouldn't last you too long, however. And a minor slowdown southbound I-5 in the Fife Curve. And we have a situation on I-90 eastbound. So at milepost 63, you're going to find those lanes eastbound blocked, but they are going to detour you up over the Cabin Creek Bridge, and that's going to happen through Friday as crews replace concrete panels. The Slick Traffic is sponsored by Indeed.com. Forecast, quality candidates ahead. Indeed skills tests help you find the right hire faster. Screen for skills your job requires. Hiring becomes a breeze. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Next, Como traffic at 1:14.
Como forecast, here's meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Drying out today after many backyards received nearly a month's worth of rain over the weekend. Partly cloudy, dry this afternoon, mostly clear tonight to view the full harvest moon, and then slightly warmer on Tuesday with highs back into the mid-70s. Wednesday, light showers are likely midweek. That is also the fall equinox, the astronomical start to the fall season. Slightly cooler Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the 60s before warming back up to near 70 Friday and Saturday. Now, the upcoming weekend, not nearly as wet as what we just experienced, but a few showers are likely on Sunday. In the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
In Seattle right now, clear blue skies. It's 64 degrees. Como News Time 106. The Seattle City Council is set to take up an ordinance, I should say, that would prohibit Seattle police from training, forming partnerships, or making exchanges with certain governments. The countries in question are those that have been found to have violated UN covenants in the last 10 years or have a record of violating civil or political rights. SPD doesn't have plans to do international training this year. The council meeting is at 2 o'clock. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan announced tens of millions of dollars in funding to help house homeless people. Come on. Charlie Harker has the story.
It's $50 million that will be used to buy buildings that can be transformed into shelter and provide affordable housing.
Families have been forced out of Seattle due to the skyrocketing rents. We had a record number of people move here in a short period of time, and as we've seen, our housing availability did not keep up. Affordable housing, whether rental or home ownership, is getting more and more difficult to find in Seattle and is impossible for many people.
Mayor Durkin says a benefit of putting people into affordable housing is that it frees up more shelter beds to get people off the streets. Charlie Harger, Como News.
A massive cleanup took place over the weekend in Everett to clear out a troublesome homeless encampment. Como's Nick Popham reports.
Benjamin Skewis is a stroke survivor who lives just down the street from Puget Park in Everett and was fed up with what was going on in these woods.
Oh my God, dude. There was shootings. There was drugs.
That's all changing thanks to the help from the folks at the Hand Up Project.
This is one of the largest cleanups we've done. We have over 15 acres of encampments.
Jim Phelps is the vice president of the Hand Up Project and says they were hired by the landowner to help clean up the park from all the trash and debris while also trying to help the people inside get clean.
And over 2 days, thousands of used needles were removed from the park along with a lot of trash. Over the past week, there's been a spike in the number of homeless camp fires across Seattle.
23 in just 4 days in a year that has already seen nearly 900 homeless camp fires overall. That's compared to 825 fires in all of 2020. When we asked the city what they're doing to fight this dangerous trend, the mayor's office told us housing will help. The city says it will bring 1,300 new homes online for chronically homeless people this fall. But with 4,000 people living unsheltered, the need still far outstrips the supply.
Como's Holly Menino. A Spokane County firefighter who lost his life in the line of duty last month was honored over the weekend as more than 1,500 area firefighters, community members, and family came together.
When a firefighter dies, the entire firefighting community feels it.
Lieutenant Cody Traber died in the line of duty August 26th. His crew had been called to check on a brush fire near Highway 395. As he jumped out of the engine, he fell from a bridge and died. Bob Schindler, division chief with Spokane County Fire District 9, told KXLY, Traber was a mentor to so many in the fire service, so he wasn't surprised so many showed up to honor him.
To recognize all of Cody's accomplishments, to recognize him as our friend, as our fellow firefighter.
Traber, who was also a paramedic, worked with Spokane County District 9 for 18 years. He leaves a wife and four young children. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Alcohol and speed suspected to be the factors from investigators as they look into a fatal crash that killed three teenagers and severely injured two others near Forks early Saturday morning. The Clallam County Sheriff's Office says that the truck left the roadway and hit a tree, killing a 17-year-old and two 18-year-olds. Two others, both 19, are hospitalized in critical condition. Como News Time, 1:10. Time for an update on sports from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk and Bill Schwartz. Wild card hopes on the line as the Mariners take on Oakland.
13 games left to play and 4 games out of a playoff spot. Long odds against Seattle returning to postseason for the first time in 20 years. But as long as they're not mathematically eliminated, these are meaningful ball games for manager Scott Service Mariners.
You know, when you get to the end of the year, everybody needs to step up and, you know, seeing those young kids being relaxed, confidence growing, you know, and really feel good about what we have, you know, to play for the rest of the season and beyond.
Tonight at the Oakland Coliseum, a battle of southpaws, Tyler Anderson and Sean Manaea. The Seattle Seahawks will not be 17-0 this football season, squandering a 15-point lead, dropping their home opener 33-30 in overtime to Tennessee. Sunday, it's the 1-1 Hawks at Minnesota. 1-2 Washington Huskies open as 8-point home favorites in Saturday night's Pac-12 opener against Cal. 1-2 Washington State hits the road to Salt Lake City for a Saturday morning ball game with Utah's Utes. And the Seattle Storm are the 4 seed in the WNBA playoffs. They'll host the highest remaining team Sunday at Everett's Angel of the Winds Arena. Sports updates at 10:40 after the hour. Bill Schwartz, Como News.
The Biden administration said over the weekend that it was accelerating deportation flights and sending 400 federal agents to Texas to deal with an escalating crisis. Thousands of immigrants continued streaming to the U.S.-Mexico border. ABC's Kenneth Moten reports.
Flights of migrants from Del Rio, Texas, returning to Haiti. approximately 13,000 people, many from Haiti, the country ravaged and unstable after the assassination of its president and a deadly earthquake in August. Others from South America seeking refuge underneath the Del Rio International Bridge on the Texas border.
We've never seen anything like this. This is completely and totally out of the norm of anything that we've ever seen.
An unprecedented federal and state response. 1,000 Texas state troopers backing up 600 members of Customs and Border Patrol. Inside the sea of humanity, officials say incidents of violence, migrants bathing in the river, crossing back and forth for food, makeshift shelters built to protect from the 100-degree heat. Then there's the COVID concern.
We are providing food, water, portable toilets, towels. Emergency medical technicians are available for first aid.
The small border community overwhelmed.
We're a very welcoming and loving community, but you know, we can only provide so much.
Border Patrol expects to process those remaining migrants by the end of the week, a huge undertaking as federal authorities look into this mass migration and how those Haitians got here by boat, by bus, by foot. They do say that this illegal crossing is well known, but they repeat, they've never seen anything like this before.
ABC's Kenneth Moten. A new look at President Biden's first months in office from journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. ABC's Karen Travers has details from Washington.
The new book, Peril, from Washington Post journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, chronicles the beginning of the Biden presidency. The book describes how President Biden and his aides reportedly refer to former President Trump in private. The president and his advisors, quote, hated to utter Trump's name, and aides avoided using the T word, the authors claim. Woodward and Costa also write that President Biden reportedly called the White House, quote, the tomb, and said he found it lonely and cold and preferred being back in Delaware with his grandchildren. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
France warns that Europe's trade negotiations with Australia are at risk of collapse.
There had been hopes that an EU-Australia free trade agreement could be signed off before the end of this year, but as it reels from a decision by Canberra to scrap a submarine deal with Paris worth $66 billion. One French official has warned the trade deal is now on the ropes. France's Europe Minister Clément Beaune has said Australia's breach of trust over the submarine deal means pursuing the trade negotiations is now unthinkable. Lucy Hoff, Brussels.
Como News Time 114. Time for a traffic update from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Marina Rockinger.
Well, we do have a minor slowdown southbound I-5 approaching I-90 in Seattle. Southbound I-5 in the Fife Curve, you're going to also find that just a bit sluggish. And eastbound I-90 at exit 63, so this is going to be past the summit. The traffic is being detoured up and over Cabin Creek Bridge through Friday while crews work on replacing concrete panels. Your next Como traffic at 124.
Our Como forecast, pretty nice. Sunshine for the rest of the day today and tomorrow. We should hit the low 70s again tomorrow, but just the mid-60s today. There's a slight chance of rain on Wednesday before we get back to more sunshine for the end of the week. Right now in Seattle, sunny and 64.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now the headlines are following from the Como 24/7 News Center. Wall Street closes deeply in the red after a steep sell-off and worries about real estate investment in China. At one point, the Dow was down by more than 900 points. We'll have your closing numbers coming up in about 5 minutes or so. And congressional leaders on the Democratic side are proposing a temporary measure to fund the government until early December. The government runs out of money September 30th, prompting fears of a shutdown. The Treasury Department warns of a possible default without a boost in the debt limit. When will kids under 12 be eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine? Perhaps sooner than later. Pfizer broke some news this morning of the success of their serum in younger children. And covering this for ABC News is Derek Dennis, who joins us on the Como Newsline. Derek, we're talking about kids ages 5 to 11. What kind of a timeline are we on to see this rolled out?
Well, that's right. 5 to 11 years old is what Pfizer is saying. Their trial is showing an effectiveness in their vaccine. They still have to go through the next step, which is a formal application to the FDA for emergency use authorization. Then the FDA takes a look at it, weighs the pros and cons, looks at the studies and the data, and then they make a decision about 3 weeks after that. So we're looking really at the end of October, at the earliest, at best. best if all goes according to plan for Pfizer.
And as far as the data from Pfizer, what are we hearing about effectiveness, how well kids are able to tolerate this, that kind of thing?
Sure. They did a study of about 2,800 kids between the ages of 5 and 11 years old, giving them the same two-dose regimen that adults and anyone over, 12 years old is currently getting now. But the difference is they gave them a much smaller amount of the dosage because these are smaller people we're dealing with. They wanted to make sure that they would be safe, and they found what they called, quote, a robust antibody response, which basically means it's effective. They like to see this. This is good news for them and gives them the confidence to take it to the next step, which would be that formal application for emergency use authorization.
Assuming this gets authorized, great news for the nieces and nephews in my family, but for my own kid under the age of 5, that's what I'm more focused on right now.
Right,
any word
right.
on when the youngest kids can get the vaccine?
Well, baby steps, no pun intended. I mean, we're getting, right now we're talking about 5 to 11 years old, then that gets rolled through, and then they will actually look ahead at the younger age, from infants up to 5 years old. That would be the next step, still many, many months away from that. But as you say, it's good news for parents, for aunts and uncles, for grandparents, anyone who wants to see the younger children as young as 5 vaccinated so they can be in school with the start of the new school year vaccinated and safe, protecting them, their teachers, their parents, and others from getting the coronavirus. So it's a positive step for Pfizer, but again, this is them saying that their drug is effective. It still has to go through the rigors of the FDA.
And we're also waiting for similar news from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, too. ABC's right. Derek Dennis with us on Como News. Derek, thank you.
You're welcome.
Como News Time 118.
New Zealand has announced its largest city will remain in lockdown for at least 2 more weeks. These are your world headlines from ABC News. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern on the measures in Auckland.
You stay in your bubbles, distance is kept, schools remain, broadly speaking, closed, and we keep doing the job of stamping out COVID.
The city's been in the strictest form of lockdown for just over a month, the longest stretch since the pandemic began. Around 20 new cases are being reported every day. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is at the UN urging world leaders to take urgent action on climate change ahead of this fall's International Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland. And Russia's dominant Kremlin-backed party appears on course to retain the two-thirds majority in the parliament that allows it to change the constitution, with results from nearly all of the country's polling stations now in. I'm Tom Rivers at the ABC News Foreign Desk in London.
It's stuff we're used to seeing in Hollywood, not in news reports, on just exactly how an assassination of the architect of Iran's nuclear program was carried out.
Iran is denying a U.S. media report its top nuclear scientist was assassinated last November by a machine gun-toting robot, one controlled remotely by Israel's spy agency, the Mossad. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman calling the report false, adding Tehran knows who killed Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. The New York Times, citing unnamed senior U.S., Israeli, and Iranian sources in its reporting of the assassination by an alleged armed robot operated via satellite by Israeli spy agents more than 1,000 miles away. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Como News Time 120, now our Propel Insurance business update.
Pfizer and BioNTech say their COVID vaccine is safe and generates a robust immune response in a clinical trial of kids aged 5 to 11. The company tested a two-dose regimen of 10 micrograms, about a third the dosage used for teens and adults, administered 3 weeks apart. The shots were well tolerated and produced an immune response and side effects comparable to those seen in a study of people aged 16 to 25. They submitted the data to the FDA, or will have done so as soon as possible. That's your money now.
The markets closed deeply in the red today. Not as bad as they had been, though. 614-point loss for the Dow. It was down by more than 900 at one point. The NASDAQ lost 330 points, about 2.25%. The S&P 500 down by 75 points and 1.75% loss. Money news at 20 and 50 past the hour. Traffic is next.
Como News. Join the Como News Listener Club.
This week, win 2 tickets to the Georgetown Haunted Morgue with Star 101.5. Get details on this must-see experience at seattlehaunts.com. Just go to comonews.com, highlight radio, and click on radio contests.